It's Father's Day, so we're going to be talking about the best worst dads in the Star Wars universe, as well as some of your top headlines from this week. It's Jedi Alliance 136, and it's happening right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Jedi Alliance. This is episode 136. We're going to be talking about some dads, some news, a whole bunch of good stuff, but we got the whole team here. I'm one of your hosts, the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Joined as always, to my left, the one and only Michael Young.
Hey guys, what's up? You can find me online at One Youngsters, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T.
Hey!
Speaking of A, we got A-Tours-890.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Alexis.
I'm good. What? Sorry, I'm still recovering from yesterday. Hi, you guys can find me all over social media at A-Tours-890.
Alexis is our chat master.
Yes, I am.
Our chat bot. Or no, chat droid.
Yes.
Chat droid.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, I will refuse if I get called a bot on this show.
No, yeah, no. AT-890. That's your designation. Yeah. You're an AT chat droid.
Yeah, it's the best.
So, you're a little coffee and losing your voice. I'm a little I'm a little tea.
Look.
And losing my voice. And Michael's fine.
He's always fine every time.
You're just fine, monster. How's everybody doing? I mean, we physically we're a little bit rough, but just how's everybody week's been?
Dude, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
You did something recently? What?
I had my bachelorette party for LA in Universal, and we were there from 8 a.m. when it opened till when it closed at 10 p.m. It was fantastic.
Spend any time at City Walk?
No, we were so tired.
So pushed.
We were so tired.
All right.
Yeah.
It looked like you had a lot of fun.
It was good. I guess if you're going with a group and you're celebrating something, wear a lot of things if you're going to be celebrating it, because you get a lot of free stuff. So, yeah, we didn't have to.
No, you got a lot of front of the line stuff.
I didn't wait in any line. Only one line, which was for Ollivander.
Shout out to Universal. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Universal.
Did you recognize your wand keeper?
No, I didn't get to. I didn't recognize my.
Okay, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That was just me alluding to John Rogut.
Yeah, no, yeah. He wasn't. Not today. I was looking for him though. I was like, where is he? But one of my posse got to choose her wand.
Really cool.
Your posse.
Yeah. It's really magical.
Yeah.
Would you? Did you have revolvers and like cowboy hats?
Yeah.
And
Spurs. Man, you don't know since you haven't been in LA long, but there used to be a show at Universal called the Wild Wild West Stunt Show.
I miss it.
Yeah, and it got replaced by something that's a lot more useful, a plaza. But they were trying to bring it back.
Okay. How about y'all?
How about you, Michael? How was your week?
Pretty busy. You know, putting out the show. I was also fortunate to be on a documentary that'll be coming out in February called Black Ink, basically focused on people of color and their contribution to the comic book industry.
That's awesome.
So, I got a little interview in there, you know, Erica Alexander, Joseph Village, some other people that are really, really cool, and, you know, it's going to be fun. It'll be.
But February, that's a long time to wait, though.
Well, it'll be good because you get that slow burn and you get to see that trailer and you'll be like, just be like, that's me, mama. Press the pause button. That's me. That'll be cool.
I was in a movie, mom.
I kind of did that this morning because I got a notification that I was in a special video, and I saw somebody with a Star Wars shirt who has a beautiful face that talked about EA Play.
Oh, is it this one? This guy over here.
This guy over here who showed me making a beautiful woman on Sims 4.
She was kind of high. She, you know what I mean?
You saw how thick I made her.
She was high.
How many C's in thick? An unlimited amount.
Yes.
You'll have to watch the video to find out. But I do have to say, like we're not going to spend too much time on it, but we talked about our Star Wars experience with EA Play last week. But I love how the other group that we were with, Nerds Doing Stuff, they were playing the game long before you were even close to finish with your character, because she had to be perfect.
Yeah.
She had to be perfect.
So that one's up on BHL right now, right?
Yeah, that's on BHL. And the title is something like EA Play Wrap Up, Star Wars Battlefront Review or something like that. But search NerdSoul, NERDSOUL. It's up there. You're in the video too.
For the split second I stuck my head in. I see a camera and I can't help but go, what's going on?
but I loved it because the intro was there, and then Mark just like slowly dipped out, and I was like, "This is amazing." He's just like, "And there he goes."
Yeah, I'm gone now.
Best bonding experience ever.
Yeah, that last weekend was a lot of fun. And speaking of this past weekend, my episode of Millennial Falcon came out from Screen Junkies News. Myself and Jenny, we had that was so much fun. We shot for about 45 minutes. The episode ended up being about 18. They cut out a lot of really good stuff, but I don't blame them because what they kept was pretty good stuff too. Our boy Sluice holding it down in that comment section. Yeah. Like I saw him and I was like, all right, cool. Jedi Alliance is representing here.
Cool.
So make sure to go check that out. It's on Screen Junkies News. It came out on Saturday, so it's not too far down on the video list. But we talk about the planets of the Star Wars universe, where we would live. And she is an interesting person. I will say that. But
I'll check that out later. I can't wait.
Yeah, check it out. It was a lot of fun. And then more news about other Star Wars related stuff that I'm doing at the end of the show. But let's get into it. Let's start out. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Mark Hamill was... It sounded like he wasn't feeling... He didn't like the way that Luke was headed in Episode 8. Yeah. By his comments.
Yeah.
What did you think of that story initially?
I was like, man... They must be really taking him somewhere that, you know, is just maybe they're going to blow our minds with something that's like either maybe extremely indifferent, extremely evil, something like that, or just like, you know, just maybe malicious and not evil, but just malicious, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because for him to make a statement like that, you know, being the Luke that we know, I figured they must be changing him to someone, maybe just the grumpy old man that he didn't want to be, something like that.
Yeah. He said that he was quoted incorrectly, saying that he was eventually quoted saying that he fundamentally disagreed with what Ryan had, but he was instead surprised how Ryan saw Luke, and it took a while to get around his way of thinking, mm-hmm. but once he was there, it was a thrilling experience, and hopes that it will be for the audience too. So, just a little bit of a clarification, and I figured that since we reported on the first one, we should report on that as well. Good call for picking up the story.
Hey, I do what I can. It's not easy, but, you know, I do a little something.
Mm-hmm. What was this other one that you picked up?
The other one we're looking at was, we had the Star Wars Battlefront 2. And their trailer and how it was received. The title is Crushes the Mario Trailer.
Yeah.
And I think that's due to the news that EA put up, you know, ahead of time saying like, hey, guys, we know how you guys felt about Battlefront 1. We listened. Here's some of the gameplay. Here's some of what we plan to do with the DLCs, blah, blah, blah. And I think that helped generate. Plus, you know, the story looks super sweet and the effects. But
it's also Star Wars.
Yeah, it's also Star Wars. But, I mean, Mario is no, you know, he's no slouch. I mean, people love that plumber. Mm-hmm. So
I love that plumber.
I love that plumber. Well, I love his brother. Plumber. Same thing. I like him.
Luigi's okay. But it's cool to see something that's, you know, like Mario is a large brand in itself. Mm-hmm. And then for Battlefront, especially coming off of a release that wasn't as, it was well received at first, but then kind of like tapered off to come back and get that love again with, you know, the new information,
sure.
The new special effects, and I mean, well, not special effects, but the
graphics.
New graphics. And, you know, to see that people are like, okay, cool. We're back into it and into it so much that, you know, you crush a juggernaut like Nintendo. Because, I mean, Nintendo is not, you know, it's not a slouch. You know, mm-hmm. People love Nintendo.
Not to get too far into the weeds on it, but did anybody watch that Mario trailer for Mario Odyssey?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's cool. It is cool.
Because it starts cool. With a T-Rex, for goodness sake. And I was like,
"It's like, huh?
Wow, Nintendo actually got a surprise on the fields. Like, nobody expected. There's a dinosaur. He's wearing a damn Mario hat, isn't he?
Yep.
Oh, and then we can be the T-Rex, man. So we did E3 coverage here last Wednesday night. Go check it out. We talked about all the conferences and all our favorite demos and gameplays and trailers. And it took everything in me not to pick Star Wars because of having the show, yeah. And we talked about it already, and we played it. It's not very fair.
It's not very fair.
But Mario was my next favorite one. So
yeah,
despite all of that, EA did get a couple of extra days And because okay. they're, and because also because their conference wasn't on the same day of any other one, and they didn't really have a presence at any other conference, but they had the most time to accumulate the most views.
Okay,
but,
okay.
But kind of according to the story, it's less of like, oh, you know, about like 100,000, but like a lot. So
yeah, it's a good sign that people still have goodwill for this. They're willing to play it and hopefully make the multiplayer community real great. So yeah. Excited for it, but not to diss that dinosaur because that dinosaur was sweet.
That got me. Got me good.
I want that Switch though.
I know. Don't remind me. I put it on my registry, but I know it's never gonna happen.
Dude, you never know. That's amazing. That's like when I registered, I was like, is it okay to put like a laptop? Because I need a new work
Neil
laptop.
Neil did immediately. He was like, boom, laptop. I was like, all right.
He's like, can I put?
But this I think on it's a Chrome bit. Wait, no, Chrome bit. Google Chrome. I don't know. It's one of those.
Okay, is it Chromebook?
Chromebook, thank you.
Yeah. Chromebit.
Thank you, sorry,
thank you, Neil, for clearing
Chromebit
that up.
Chromebit is the smaller Chromebook.
But that's one that you have, right, Neil?
I actually do have a Chromebit,
thank you.
Yeah.
I get them confused.
And it works.
Chromebits, they're like Timbits, but with technology.
Yes.
Before we get into our next story, though, I do want to let everybody know that this is a sponsored episode, and we would like to thank our sponsors. Without our sponsors, we can't keep giving you this stuff for free. So you help them out, they help us out, everybody's helped, and in this case, you get some food!
Oh, yeah.
Special thanks to Blue Apron. They are our sponsor for this episode because not all ingredients are created equal. We've said it before, and we're going to keep saying it because it's entirely true. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a difference, so it is important to know where your food comes from. Now, Blue Apron's been a sponsor a couple of times, and we say every time, how much this service is important to bring people together. My wife and I, we are like, our schedules differ so much, but once we get, when we get our Blue Apron in, it's sort of a thing. Well, okay, now we have to make sure that we are home so that we can cook together. Yeah. And so it's a wonderful way to bring people together, and the meals themselves are just phenomenal. You can get for various diet types too. If you're a vegan, if you're a vegetarian, if you're a pescatarian, or if you eat everything. So, that's one like Alexis. It's really affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. My favorite part about that is you don't have extra stuff laying around. It's just, here's what you need for this recipe. Here's what you need for this recipe.
And you're not sitting around with like one extra onion and you're like, what do I do with this onion?
Or half a clove of garlic.
Yeah,
or
you're like,
use all of the garlic? No.
Depends on how sick I am at any given time.
It's real garlicky.
Yeah. They also come with step-by-step instructions, so you can't miss it. They also come on thick cardstock, so you can keep the recipe.
Yeah, it's like this nice paper, and it's well-designed. I got to give it a props on it.
We cut holes in them and made them into a binder.
That's smart. That's a good idea. You can customize your recipes each week. It's not the same thing, and it usually takes about a year for a recipe to come back around, so you're not going to be seeing, like, pulled pork sliders every other week. Like, no, it's going to be fresh stuff. I mean, point taken. But you're going to be seeing some fresh stuff every single time. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. That's absolutely free. There's no gimmicks, no nothing. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/Jedi. That is J-E-D-I. blueapron.com/Jedi, where you get three free meals with free shipping. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That is blueapron.com/Jedi. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Thank you very much to our sponsors, Blue Apron. We absolutely love them, and every time we get that Blue Apron, it's just a nice day.
Now, back to those pulled pork sliders, though. to the chat real quick, who do you think in Star Wars is like a pulled pork slider type of guy? Like, and don't just say Porkins, all right? Don't just say Porkins.
Come on.
All right? But who do you think is like a pulled pork, like kind of like a pulled pork kind of guy, that slow roasted, you know, that kind of guy? Who is that? Or lady. You know, the ladies get their barbecue on too.
Galen Erso.
You know what?
Dang it.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Ursos.
You know, they're out there on the farm. You know, they got a couple pigs, you know, do the roast. You know, maybe, you know, and it's easy because when you're a farmer, it's like a sandwich on the go. So it's like he's got to like pick like the peas or something, and he can still get a little bite. You know, get a little bite. I can roll with that. Huh. You know, it's not bad. I think Galen Erso, I'll agree with that.
I was gonna say Ewoks, but I don't know if there's like wild boar out there and
There's probably applicable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's unlimited beasts with unlimited flavors.
Yeah. I just don't think they're making it.
With unlimited flavors.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you never
there's
know.
There's the ultra beast.
I just don't think they make them into sandwiches. I think they it's just meat on a plate. You know, just eat it. It's actual pulled pork. It's just on rice or something. Like, yeah. You know.
We put it on a stone. And yeah, like,
in the chat, we've got Eric Bay Anderson saying Porkins, Sluice saying Jabba, Garrett Farney saying Yoda, Eric Bay Anderson also saying Sagarera, Blasted, he's saying Sabulba. Sabulba seems like more of a raw meat type of a guy.
Yeah, I don't think he cooks his.
Yeah, and I know they went more into his species in the cartoon, but I just forget what they're like.
Mm. And I'm still waiting for that 30 for 30 that you set up, you know, that Disney needs to go.
The Sabulba 30 for 30?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, I really want that. That was a great time. We have good ideas on this show.
Yes.
And that's why you should
leave
us reviews on iTunes. You should go to iTunes, subscribe. If you're watching us on YouTube, just head on over to iTunes or any podcast outlet that you may have and leave us a review. 5 stars if you like us. 4 if you don't. The other stars don't work, so there's no use doing that. But we do check them out, so please leave us comments there. It helps boost our ratings. There's a lot of Star Wars podcasts out there. We appreciate the fact that you keep coming back to us week after week, and that helps us find new viewers and new sponsors, which help keep this free. So thank you very much. Make sure to leave those comments. And I want to talk about this next story. It's a quick one. It's kind of a quick one. It was revealed over this past week that Janina Gavankar, who is our lead for Star Wars Battlefront 2, I'm so sorry for blanking on that. It's been a long couple of days. Is going to be the performer for the audiobook of Inferno Squadron. So it's going to be from Aiden's point of view, Aiden's going to read it. Now, being an audiobook connoisseur, Michael, yes. how does this tickle your fancy?
I liked her from Sleepy Hollow. I came around to her. So at first I was like, I don't like her character. But then I was like, you know
just
what?
Like that.
Yeah. Then I was like, okay, she'll do. So I actually like her. I like her kind of like her staccato, if you will. But I think she's cool. She has a great voice. And for this role, it's in line with how she speaks. She has a lot of power, a lot of authority. So I think she'll be great in this. And it's always fun to have that link between the game and the book and the movie and all that.
Well, even the characters sharing, especially like with Ashley Eckstein for the Ahsoka book.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's always cool to have those, you know, tie-ins on every, you know, on every side. So you're like, oh, okay, cool. You don't feel like it's jarring. And you're like, oh, I'm right at home with this character. So I'm glad that they were able to pull that off, even though I think they probably put that in their contracts now.
Sure.
They probably have like, your voice belongs to Disney.
Well, especially how she commanded the stage at the EA press conference when she came out with her Inferno Squadroneering on one and the Imperial Cog on the other.
She did.
And that dress, though.
I mean, yes. Also, you can find the designer. She's on Instagram. I can't remember her name at the moment, but I will tweet it out because she's fantastic.
She's amazing. Friend of the show, Stacey Shuttleworth, like, had another one of her dresses and they caught eyes and they're like,
yeah. Yeah, so weird. So I couldn't say words because I was just like, hi, blah, 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 when she came up to us. And I was
pretty
like,
lady.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, it's a pretty lady in a pretty dress on me. I'm just like, smack, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Like, snap.
We had to like,
yep,
close your mouth.
That was exactly what it was.
The jaw was on the floor.
Yep.
So any book, any subject, Alexis, I'm going to start with you. What would be your dream Star Wars audiobook and who would read it?
Okay, so... alive or dead?
Alive or dead.
Okay.
Or it's your dream.
Okay. Yay. Bloodline, Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
That is what I want.
Who did? I'm gonna look up who did the one for Bloodline.
I had
unless,
it. Dang it.
Unless
I looked
people,
it up earlier.
Unless people can put it in chat.
I forgot. I
that's,
looked
that's
it up.
That's an amazing one.
It was like Jennifer, I think it was Jennifer something. I
Jennifer Hale?
Maybe. I can't remember. I'm looking it up.
But that's considering that she did it for her own books.
Yes.
Yeah, I
would have liked that.
I think that could have worked out easily.
Right?
Yeah.
And been great.
How about you, Michael?
I would like a sort of go ahead, sorry.
Oh, sorry, January Lavoie.
Okay.
That's what
cool.
It says here on audiobooks.
All right. I think I would like, since I don't know enough about it, I would like a sort of storytelling or storybook telling of Knights of the Old Republic. It maybe kind of like a broad like telling of that time period. Mm-hmm. either
like a series of short stories about important events.
Either, all right, one of three, and I know this isn't fair. Give me Morgan Freeman, James Earl Jones, or Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson, gotta give props to the Liam Neesons.
Okay, now Neeson works because he's in the
yeah,
world.
Well, yeah.
So I would almost like that. I think the other two would be too, especially with James Earl Jones.
Too known. And then also it's like Vader's telling
you.
Yeah,
it's Vader. Yeah, and with Morgan Freeman, I don't know if his voice fits those types of stories.
Okay.
Maybe there's one here or there, but it fits with Qui-Gon Jinn, like earlier days of Qui-Gon Jinn were telling the stories of the Old Republic to like a class of younglings or whatever. Like he was a history teacher before, like while Dooku was still a member of the Order, you know?
I would like Sir Patrick Stewart to read Aftermath.
He's the voice of Mr. Bones?
Yes.
Let's do that. He's the Robert. I have to go with this and get your bingo cards ready.
Uh-oh.
I would like however long it needs to be, short story, long story, of an average journey from a Rex pilot from the original Star Tours. That's what I want.
Oh.
And then it would be narrated by Paul Reubens. Pee-wee Herman, more commonly known,
but don't know.
Was the voice of Rex on the ride, and yeah. I just want
that
a little bit more
awesome.
From that little droid.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like that. That would be really sweet.
Especially because that, or the aftermath of that flight, because that's his first flight. What happened to him? Did he get reassigned? Has he taken that and become a better pilot as a result of it?
I need to get on the new Star Tours. I haven't gotten on the new one yet.
At all?
At all?
Huh?
Well, I mean,
shoot.
Yeah, I don't
well, no, because like it's gonna. When was you don't remember the last time you went?
Well, Neil proposed to me at Disneyland. I don't remember if we got on.
Aww.
That's very big. Don't blame you for not remembering.
Yeah, it was last year, so that's all I'm gonna say. But I have it's on the plans. Just you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Neil. Like I don't remember much from that day, so
yeah. He was like, "Well, I remember."
He always remembers.
So yeah, let us know what your dream audiobook and narrator would be in the comments down below.
We got a few in here.
Yeah? Who do we got?
Sarah asks, is there an Ewok book that Warwick could read?
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Chris Beckham says James Earl Jones reads Lord of the Sith.
All right.
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Sluice actually said Lord of the Sith read by Mr. Bones.
I mean, same thing.
But also Sluice also said that he read Bloodline in Jabba's voice.
That's pretty adorable.
Yeah, Bubba R said mine is Chewbacca, read by the actor in the Wookiee series.
Oh, Peter Mayhew? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, in the Wookiee series.
Wookiee species.
Okay.
Sorry, I read that. My brain fixed that to series instead of species.
So it would just be in Wookiee.
Yeah.
That would be
interesting.
That would be interesting.
That would be unfortunate. Speaking of something that was unfortunate, we never knew what happened to Captain Phasma. After the events of The Force Awakens, but we do know that Captain Phasma is returning for the next movie, and we're going to finally find out how she made her escape from Starkiller Base. Coming in September, we've got the cover up here. It is going to be
cool.
From Marvel Comics.
So awesome.
Entertainment Weekly posted this story, and they've got a whole bunch of the art without any of the voice bubbles in it, so you don't know what's happening, but it looks like she is just bolting past people while stuff is exploding during the firefight that happened on the surface. Are you guys sad that this isn't going to be in there? One of you said that this wasn't in the first movie, or that we're not going to be seeing this on screen, or do you think the comics are the right place to put a story like this?
That's tough. It's because it depends on how long and how involved that scene becomes. Mm-hmm. Like if it's a couple of pages where she's just like running through, jumps in a ship, bounces, then it's like, okay, but if she has some important interactions, or if maybe she sees, you know, sees the fight in the woods from a different perspective or something like that, then it's kind of like, oh man, that could have been sweet. But I'm interested to see how she got out of the trash compactor, though.
Yep, that was my first question.
Because the last time we saw people get out of the trash compactor, they needed some outside help. And some of that outside help came at the last minute. You know, they could have got it together a little quicker, but, you know, they did give them that outside help, which she, we assume, did not have. But, I mean, I guess she still had, like, radio contact, maybe, possibly. You know,
someone saw on a camera. I was like, "Hey, wait a minute!" Hey,
and we didn't actually see her.
Supposed to be in there. And we
didn't catch Captain Fiesma.
And that's Ken's cameo. But we didn't see her actually get thrown into the compactor, so we don't know what state she was in.
Yep.
And this will reveal some of that. So that's coming in September, and it's going to be another part of the lead up to the movie. Yeah, that's it's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody wishes we saw more Captain Phasma on screen, and I think this will be the best for this short little thing. I don't think it'll put us right. It'll be everything until Scream.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure this is a one shot, but regardless, this is similar to how C-3PO got the red arm. It's something that's like, oh, how did that happen? Well, here's how that happened.
Yeah,
and it's cool.
Now, speaking of comics, big shout out to some people that sent me, can't remember who sent me the link, I'm so sorry, but they are doing a hardcover for the Darth Vader series, including Vader Down and the annual and everything.
The entire series or like in parts?
The entire series. It's going to be like $80, but I'm probably going to get it.
No, I don't blame you.
I'm probably going to pick that up. But yes, it should be coming, I believe, in September. But yeah, hardcover, whole Vader series. It's so cool. Yeah, I'm excited because it's going to connect all of that, all of the Vader Down and all of the Star Wars episodes that like interconnect with it. So it's going to be a lot of stuff, but it's going to be nice, you know, that hardcover. So in my case, my wife won't be like, what are these little floppy comics?
Floppies are hard.
See, like, when you put a hardcover up there, it's like prestige. And then it's like, oh, I can play. Oh, that must be a book. Oh, is this a novel called Vader? It's like, well, no.
It's a graphic novel.
So get it's it like, you know, you put a real book up there, so you get that prestige. Yeah. So it's a little bit better. It's a little
I
bit better.
I usually push up my glasses when I say that. It's a graphic novel.
Graphic novel. Maybe you've heard of A Watchmen.
anyway.
Every time.
We could keep going on Nerd Talk. So we will, because this is a Star Wars show. So today in the United States, it is Father's Day. So we're going to be talking about the best, worst dads in the Star Wars universe. Let's start at the bottom and then go to the top. Who do you think is the worst Star Wars dad? Does anybody want to go first? And this isn't just like bloodline. This is also like adopted fathers, like the Larses.
Does Vader count?
Vader counts?
Vader counts.
Well, no, I know he counts because he is a father, but I was like, he didn't really father anybody.
No, he did. He fathered two children. But he didn't raise them.
That's what I meant. Raise.
Yeah.
The worst dad. It's tough. I have to say, and I know this is going to be mean, but I feel like Lars could have.
No, which Lars?
Oh,
because there's Klieg Lars, who Shmi gets married to, and then Owen Lars is one of their kids that they have.
Yeah. Uncle Owen, who is like a surrogate father. I feel like he could have better prepared Luke. I mean, I know they wanted to protect him and like keep him away from the eyes of the Empire, but I think maybe, you know, he could have did like some Karate Kid stuff where he didn't know he was training, but he was training. He'd be like, hey man, I want you to wash the deck, but just, you know, paint the fence, but paint it like this.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, instead of being like, I want to get some some power converters, and then like, but he'd be like, oh snap, Jedi stuff? Yo, I'm already cool in this.
Yeah, but then that turns into like, here, paint the faint like the fence like this. That fence is gonna look weird.
Well, you know,
That is a terrible coat. Or no, like even better.
It's a bad coat of paint.
Luke thinks he's doing like Karate Kid stuff, but really? Owen's just like, I just want you to paint the fence.
I just want you to paint the fence. What are you doing?
Stop messing around. Paint the fence.
What is that? A crane kick? Get off of that stone.
We're gonna be using that. You gotta actually take it out of the ground. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Stop that.
I will second that motion on Owen.
On Uncle Owen.
But I think he was bad because he didn't prepare. As a father, your job is to prepare your children for what is to come. And I don't think he properly prepared Luke. They it coddled him a little bit, because when we meet Luke, a little soft.
I also feel like Luke just has bad luck with father figures in his life, just period. Okay, we had Uncle Owen, we had kind of Obi-Wan for a split second,
yeah.
And then obviously we have the big one, Vader. So I just feel like if you're fathering Luke in any way, shape, and form, it's not happening.
There's a common denominator. Vader came around at the end, though.
Yes, of course.
There's a common denominator in that. It's Luke. Maybe Luke's just a bad kid.
You know what?
Huh.
Luke is a bad son.
Huh. That's what it is.
That's what Father's Day is about in the United States and Canada. Thank you, Sarah, in the chat. I just wanted to correct that. No, we're not. Luke's fine, I guess.
Bad sons out there, it's your fault.
Don't be a bad son. Call your dad. There's still time.
Yeah, there's still time. Call him up.
I did it today. I was like, I'm hanging out with my grandpa and my dad. I don't know what's happening. They're important to me. Eric Bay said Django.
I have plenty to say about Django, but it's not in the worst dad category.
He's the best dad?
We're still talking about worst dads.
Right. Okay, all right, okay.
And I'm going to say Han Solo. We're talking about...
Yeah, that was going to be my vote.
almost immediately abandons his kid. No, Han's a great character, but if you think about it, and especially going into Bloodline, which we were just talking about, he's not there to support. They just schlep him off to his uncle, Luke. and he ends up getting killed by his son.
Yeah.
Arguably the worst grade in parenting.
Yeah, if your son kills you, you're a bad dad. I think if your son kills you, you did something wrong in dadding, all right? You were dadding horribly. All right, you were doing a very bad job off and just being Han instead of being a dad.
At the very least, it's being there for your son.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or for your child.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't know exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. The chat is right. We do not know exactly what happened, but we do know that neither Han nor Leia, just like Luke, did, and it's arguably worse, told Ben his parentage.
Yep.
And his, or his grandparentage.
Yes.
It's like, hey, you're kind of related to one of the most evil men. Except for at the end, like a part where he was evil.
It
was
like,
when he was little, he was good. Then he got bad for like a long time. And then he got good like real quick.
Wrapped it up right at the end there.
Saved him.
But no, I agree. I always feel weird because you guys don't have my Han Solo dress on while we were at EA Play. It's like he's like my dude. But like when he became a dad and I saw what happened, I was like, no, I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of any of that.
Sorry, bro.
Now, does any of that fall to Luke being the sort of surrogate father at least at the time that he wouldn't have been put
in that situation if Han and Leia didn't leave Ben with him.
Yeah.
But were they leaving him with Luke because that's how Jedi's did it before and they thought they were doing what they were supposed to do? You'd be like, oh, you got the Force. We take you away and you go to Coruscant. And maybe they were trying to build that back up, and they were like, oh, our kid knows the Force. Well, he's supposed to go to, Jedi school.
But that's just like, parents are too busy, and they're like, hey, we'll just have our kids stay at the after-school program. Somebody will take care of them.
Whatever.
No, but that's the lie.
Luke, we don't know when his journey into the Jedi way started.
True.
So, and I was pretty much under the impression that he didn't start on this big search and disappear until after Ben had turned. Yeah. Okay. So he may have just been like, what did Ben and Yoda teach me? All right, I'll just tell that to some kids, or whatever, something like that.
I'll just tell that to some kids.
Yeah, I'll just tell that to some kids.
They'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Like,
pretty good. All right, kids,
look, close your eyes and reach out and do you feel anything? Because you should be.
No, I don't feel anything. All right,
here's this little ball. It's gonna shoot you a whole bunch of times with lasers.
It'll
work. You'll get used to it.
All right, child, you have to carry me all around this forest. I'm gonna be on your back. Here we go.
it's like wasn't Yoda a little bit smaller than you?
No.
Don't worry about
that. The whole point, it's inner strength and outer strength. Here we go.
Get on my back.
Size matters not, young one. It's like, but I'm 6.
Get on my back. All right. Did anybody in the chat have anything?
Well, Lamp Lampshadius. Worst dad equals Galen Erso. Got billions of people blown up.
But that's not.
That doesn't count.
Someone say that he is one of the best dads because he protected his daughter being under the clutches of the Empire and sending him to a radical zealot. Dang it! You know what?
I'm rethinking it now. I don't know.
But like the Death Star wasn't inherently related to his being a father.
Yeah.
You know, like looking at Catalyst, his and Lyra's relationship, sure. But once Jyn came into the picture, they were kind of already out out of that world. Like they already knew, like we gotta bounce. So
yeah.
I don't think that's inherently a part of it.
Yeah, it's not super his fault.
Galen's not the best, but he's not the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could agree with that. So he's in the middle.
Yeah. He's a middle dad.
He's a middle dad. All
right, so let me tell you why Jango Fett is one of the best dads. Because now, while it may be totally unsafe that he's teaching young Boba the ways of the bounty hunter, just a little bit. He's making sure that he keeps an eye on him at all times.
Yep.
He's teaching him how to protect himself and Jango. But he's giving him all of the tools to inherit the family business.
Yes.
Like, it's what he's doing.
I love your logic.
No. But while what he is doing is inherently flawed, he's still, like, a proud dad, like, go get him, son, sort of a thing.
Yes.
So, ultimately, he's there, he's attentive, he's watching him.
But he genuinely also cares a lot about his kid as well,
no disrespect to the clones out there watching right now.
Sorry, clones.
Sorry, guys.
But
this brings up a really good point. Technically, he is the father of the clone army.
Yep.
Technically.
Wow. You know what?
Now that's just getting into science. They're all test tube babies, but
they're still babies.
They're still babies.
Would he be their father? Would he be their father, or would the Kaminoans be their father, or be their collective like village raises a child thing? How would that work?
How so?
Because you know they were raising them and like feeding them and training them and stuff.
Hey, we don't have any of the contracts.
Okay.
Because technically,
we don't have receipts. We don't have receipts.
Seriously. Because technically, it could be Sheev too, because he ordered it. Yeah. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about dadism. So who is some of y'all favorites?
Well, I want to agree with what you said because it's the Owens thing. Like when I said Owen, like he was like, look, if you watch the animated series, Jango was gone. Look. Bubba was okay. Why? Because he was prepared.
He was ready.
He was prepared. He even, you know, beat up a couple people on his own, started his own little crew. You know what I mean? He was kind of like, you know, really, really short for the crew that he was running. But I mean, when you have that training, you know, nobody can really mess with you. Even Cad Bane gave him a little bit of respect, you know, even though Cad Bane will always be the best bounty hunter. But,
not getting into that. Not today.
It's like not touching it. But another good dad, and I know this is gonna sound weird, but he moved, you know, he moved hell and earth to find his son, and that's Jabba. Jabba was a good. All right, he was a criminal.
Here we go. I was waiting for it.
It's like watching The Godfather. You know what I mean? You know, he's a good dad to his kid.
Why does he have to send the Jedi to go get him in the first place?
Because man, he's like
he would have never let him out of his sight if he was a good dad.
Well, I mean, he's like a big snail. He can't move that fast. Jedi can run.
Yeah, but Jedi can run.
He has
speed
boosts.
He's got speed boosts.
Look, I'm just saying, we got one.
Is it like turbo?
Yeah.
He's like turbo.
Does his whole body light up and then he just
So the only reason I'm trying to keep us on task is because we do have one more segment to get.
Are you legitimately saying that
Jabba the Hutt is one of the best dads?
Because in the Star Wars series, you don't see anyone drop everything and like, yo, I need help.
He didn't drop everything. He sent two that you do it.
But he sent two really good people.
Yeah. I can't read it.
Okay, maybe not. I thought he was a pretty good dad.
Send me your best. We got the new guy and Snips. I didn't get her name. What's her name?
Oh, everybody who's watching doesn't like her yet. It's going to be about 5 years until they really like her.
Oh, boy.
send those guys. All right, maybe he didn't send the best. But, I mean, he wanted him back.
Oh, God, that was ridiculous.
Eric B. Anderson says Michael is too drunk to drive.
Michael, oh, you're man.
Drunk. I'm like, he's the Rancor keeper.
Oh, man. Oh, that's cold.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, what do you think, Alexis?
Oh, God. Well, no, I was also going to say Django, but, give it to Papa Organa. I feel like he did a pretty
good
job.
He's like the TV dad of the Star Wars. Yeah. You know,
no BS. Like just making a list for a show. Bail Organa is one of the best Star Wars.
Like,
dads.
Can we talk about? Like, yeah. Come on. I mean, we can't. Yeah. We don't have to go into detail because it's pretty. It's out. Like, come on. But like, I feel like if we can, if it's like right on that surface, I feel like Daddy Organa's got it.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree with that.
No. He's a trustworthy guy. They have home cooked meals every night. You know, they got Sunny D in the fridge.
He's that brought dad. Back memories.
He's he's that dad. Yeah. He's like playing catch with you outside. He's coming to the games. You know, he shows up at school to surprise you for lunch. He's like dad.
Don't do any of that crap. Don't do that.
Man.
Well, don't do it after like elementary school. Like,
yeah, dad. I love you. Dad. Stop it. Happy Father's Day, by the way.
That's why we lock the doors, so that endless amounts of dads don't just bring in
my dad wouldn't trays even come of orange like, slices. Hey, Alex, here's some Portos. I'm like, Dad, stop. Get out.
But leave the Portos.
leave this. I'll take it under advisement.
It better be potato balls. All right. So let us know who you think is the best and or worst Star Wars dad in the comments down below. We got one more thing to do before we go. We've teased it. We've talked about it. We've had it, a version of it. But it's time to herald back the return and a little bit of a change. It's got a new name, but it's the same flavor. Hope you like it. It's time for Duel of Debates. Now, don't put that up yet because we haven't said what our topic is. But you got to feel the power. You got to feel the power. You got to feel the power. It's beautiful. It's like we're in the Palace of Naboo itself.
Right?
Mm. Now, for Duel of Debates, we are going to go back to what?
I'm enjoying the light show.
It's good. Like... That's Neil.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Neil. We're going to be going under rules that the audio listeners have no idea what's going on. Shout out to iTunes. Similar to when John Rocha was one of our regular hosts, we did it in a debate style where each host gets 90 seconds to debate their point on a topic. You all right?
No, I was looking for a timer.
No, we got timers.
We got a timer.
So yeah, we got timers set and ready, remember? But you're going to be calling it.
I know.
So, Alexis... Jim. Is going to be our timekeeper. We're going to keep an eye on the chat to see who's going to win, who's going to lose, but we're going to put the poll up after the episode airs so that everybody at home can vote and see who wins. This week's topic is going to be, are stormtroopers effective or useless?
Dun, dun, dun.
It has been a topic that is just, it's constantly been debated. Time for us to weigh in on it. Now, we posted a poll on Twitter today. It was very weird because it was very basic, very generic. Mm-hmm. But you voted to have Michael debate for the effectiveness of stormtroopers and for me to debate the uselessness of stormtroopers. Alexis, do you have a coin?
I do.
Why don't you grab a coin and we'll determine who goes first. I'm going to pop one of these cough drops so I don't waste any of my time
cough on drops. Coughing. Brought to you by the Empire.
I have a dollar coin.
Have a dollar? No, you, since...
Oh, no, don't make me flip it.
No, flip it.
Okay.
You can flip it. You can
so Alexis is going to flip to see who goes first.
All right. Who calls heads? Or tails?
No. Michael calls it.
All right, I'll call it.
All right, ready?
Yep. Heads.
Tails.
All right, so that means...
That flip was terrible, by the way. Okay.
Thank you, listeners. All right, so it's my choice. Yeah, I'll go first. Okay. So there's going to be 90 seconds on the clock. Alexis is going to call it, and it's up to you to determine.
Oh boy,
who's going to go? But you get a chance to respond to my stuff, yeah, so that's a little bit better.
But
all right.
Oh boy.
It's the stormtroopers, man. Get ready with the timer, Neil and Alexis. Whenever you're ready, call it.
And go.
All right. If we're talking about stormtroopers, they're nothing but useless. The visors, they don't allow any sort of visibility. They can't even make a simple shot. And the amount of you have to get through so much training in order to get to the Death Trooper level, which means that you're actually pretty good at your job, but we don't even see them until 8 movies in. 8 canon movies in, I should say. And I mean, they're cannon fodder at this point. They're so ineffective that the First Order didn't care that their main hub of these potential weapons / meat shields was going to get blown up. They don't care about these people's families. They don't care about where these people came from. They almost got clones for and the clones were the most effective ones, and yet they were all based off of one person. And even then they were useless because they killed off some of the greatest, and you could call this a benefit, but I'd say it adds to their uselessness. They killed off the Jedi Order.
30 seconds.
Thank you. which allowed for the dark side to take over the galaxy. And then once the clones started dying off, the non-useless ones were few and far between. They took the control chip out of their heads. Like all of that goodness didn't even amount to anything. They're just movable, glorified meat shields, and the Empire would do much better to not have them. I'll take a couple of seconds.
One.
Thanks, Boy. And also make sure to mute that alarm on the Google.
Oh, yeah, I always forget that alarm on there.
That's all right.
Wow. Okay. I was impressed. Super duper impressed.
Okay. All right.
Neil, did you mute that?
Yeah, he'll mute it.
All right, cool.
He'll mute it.
Michael, you ready? I really liked everything that Mark said, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'm ready. And go.
All right. I know a lot of people might think that the Stormtroopers just can't get the job done, but they did bring order to a galaxy in chaos because the Republic at the time, you had a banking clan that was going crazy.
Okay.
You had slavery that was going on. You had a whole bunch of people in the Outer Rim that were just like warring different factions and different criminal syndicates. And how do you stop that overwhelming force? And that overwhelming force comes from the Stormtroopers. And the Stormtroopers, of course, are not the best marksmen. But when you have a wartime draft, which is what the Empire was, you have to take the good with the bad. Now, of course, when you have like one or two Stormtroopers, it doesn't look too good. They're not able to hit everything. But when you have a lot, they're able to keep order. And when you have order, you don't need to shoot. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to shoot because you are policing the different territories and planets properly. The only time they really had any trouble, which were like in the movies that we saw, were with high level rebels. The rebels that we never heard about were always getting killed. Their little X-wings getting shot down. They couldn't win any ground battles. They were always getting beat up. Not until our high level people, like of course Luke, came through, and Han, and they needed, you know, the rebels needed top level people too to win. So both sides were equally bad.
That was rough.
That was rough.
But there, no,
but
there are a lot of points.
Some really like, good points. So
no, that's the
I'm
thing.
Real proud of you.
That's the thing is in
you need a break. You need a lemonade. What's going on?
That's one of the things they're that I like bad. About the newly dubbed Duel of Debates is the fact that sometimes there's going to be a side that we can't. That we don't
like,
agree with.
It's like there's not there,
but you gotta be ready for both. That's the thing is we don't know until the show starts which one we're gonna be doing. And it was only super secretive now because we didn't want to reveal that we were doing the show again, doing the segment again. So now that we are gonna be doing the segment again, as long as there isn't a topic that takes up the entirety of the show, we are gonna be doing Duel of Debates. So send in your dueling questions to either down below this YouTube video, or to us on Twitter at Jedi Alliance Pod, or on Facebook on our page. We're going to post this up tomorrow. Vote on it. Let us know who you think won, and let us know what subjects you want us to debate on in the future. But until next week, Alexis, what are you working on? Where can the folks find you?
excuse me. you guys can find me all over the interwebs at ATORS890. I'm on a few shows on our sister network, AfterBuzz TV, Sense8, and Attack on Titan tomorrow, and Robots in Disguise on Tuesdays, and One on Earp Sundays, usually right before the show, and then, of course, my favorite place, Jedi Alliance.
Oh, you're the best.
Oh.
Michael.
You can find me doing Nerd Soul, which is one word, NERDSOUL, on Black Hollywood Live, which is another sister channel here. Super dope. And you'll see me here on Sunday. And can we talk about...
About what? Oh, yeah. We did it. we were going to be doing our Force Awakens watch along.
Yes.
We can finally talk about it.
I was like, can we know? Yeah, so yes. So, go.
Yeah, okay. All right. So we're going to be doing our watch along on July 2nd. That is Sunday, July 2nd.
Sunday.
Very good. We're still figuring out the time. I'm pretty sure it's going to be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But we're double checking on that. We're going to post again on all of our social media. So make sure to stay tuned for that. It's going to be this crew. We're going to be enjoying the heck out of some Force Awakens. In case you missed it, this past week I did an episode of Millennial Falcon on Screen Junkies News. Go check that out. That was a lot of fun. Leave a comment there saying how much you love seeing me there and having Jenna Alliance represented on Screen Junkies. Woo-hoo. Also, for fans of the hosts that came before, I'm going to be doing, I recorded recently an episode of Force Center. We did a countdown on what the Disney parks need to do for Star Wars Land. It's me and Ken Knapsack. That's going to be coming out this week. I also did an episode of the Knapsack Files. That was a lot of fun as well. Thank you, Ken, for having me on. And we're actively talking with Ken and all of our other former hosts to come back on. And we, I won't announce that yet, but we do have a guest coming up on an upcoming show that's really cool, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yes.
But you can find me on Twitter at Mark Redonica. You can find the show at Jedi Alliance Pod. You can find the studio at The Popcorn Talk. The Popcorn Talk.
Network.
Yeah, The Popcorn Talk Network. Yeah, that's right. Hi. but thank you so much for watching this episode of Jedi Alliance.
No,
don't worry about it. Many dads died. Han Solo. No. Han Solo died to bring us this information because he's a dad and he got stabbed by his son.
Yeah, that's right. No, you're right.
That's better. That was almost really bad. You can cut us out. That's fine.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.